that, we've got company.
Hello.
Trust me, Hera, I'm excited. This is my excited face.
No, oh, this makes me so happy.
I like you. You don't fit in around here either.
All right, if I tag along?
More the merrier.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
Bright suns, everyone. You're listening to The Geeky Bubble. I'm your host, Jonah, and with me is the Omega to my Batcher, my mom, Maria.
Hello. Today, we're going to discuss the Season 3 episode, A Different Approach.
Yay. And apologies for the way I sound. I got a head cold. Good times.
Yeah, you have Phoebe's sexy voice.
Yes,
now.
That's right. If you've ever watched Friends, there's an episode where Phoebe gets sick and she suddenly develops a sexy voice. and it was very important for her singing. So, Mommy, what were your overall thoughts when I came to this episode?
Oh, it was so emotional.
So emotional.
So emotional.
So emotional.
I need Tech to be there.
I know. Tech and Echo. I thought it was a fantastic episode. I mean, Star Wars Animation has this incredible skill at making a lot happen in 23 or 25 minutes without feeling rushed.
Yeah.
And they truly make the most of their time and their resources, and it shows. Because this episode went from Crosshair and Omega crash landing to them working with each other and to them hustling. Like, there was a lot going on, but it never felt like it was rushed. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately reuniting with the rest of the Bad Batch. So I thought it was excellent. And also, I don't know whether you felt this, but it felt like a Star Wars Rebels episode to me.
Yes.
Right? Like being in a remote town, the yeah. Imperial presence, the tiptoeing around the Imperials. It felt a lot like Kanan, Ezra, Sabine, Hera, Zeb being in Lothal or some other.
They actually, like, when they crash landed, that grassy.
I almost thought it was Lothal,
but then I saw the peaks and I said, no, it's not Lothal.
I know. I was just like, oh my gosh, is it Lothal? And then, yeah, you saw those sharp rocks.
And
I'm like, oh, yeah, no.
But that grassy scenery. Yeah.
I totally got that feeling too. And then yesterday I ended up writing a tweet and said, man, if that the Bad Batch ever goes to Lothal and we see a Mira and Ephraim Bridger, a young Mira and Ephraim Bridger, I'm going to scream. Because I had that thought in my mind with the scenery.
And I like how they make the smallest things pop up in the scenery as it goes, the shot goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're in the city and they're walking towards the port, they show this tarp blowing in the wind.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And it's like it gets you, like your eye goes to it, like, oh, what is that?
It pulls your attention, yeah. I had the same experience with the clothes that were hanging on the clothesline.
And
there were a few things that my eye would just, like, go towards because it was being emphasized that, you know, your eyes should be over here.
and it was because you don't always get that unless you are in a scene, mm-hmm. that specific scene.
Right.
This is just the landscape.
Right, right, yeah.
So you get these little things happening in the landscape.
Yeah, there's multiple, and it's like, multiple elements.
Oh, it looks pretty, even though it was dark and gloomy.
Yeah. I really like that, too. So we have Omega, who wants to go back to get the other prisoners on Mount Tantus. They've just crash-landed, and this is the thought that she has in her mind, which I'm all for, because none of those clones should be there, especially, and not even Emery. You know, like, I don't think she should be there. She should be living her life, doing amazing things. And with Omega wanting to help the others, I think that's what's going to make the Bad Batch pivot away from putting away the soldier And it's going to push them towards helping Rex and Echo, because now her goal and Echo and Rex's goals now align.
Yeah.
But there might be some conflict because Hunter will most likely refuse.
Yeah. And now he's probably going to get the okay from Crosshair.
Yeah.
Crosshair doesn't want to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Crosshair might be like on his side. Like, I am with you, bro, because I don't think we should go back.
Yeah.
yeah, that's so right. And, you know, Hunter had just gotten Omega back, and I can see his main priority being to keep her as far away from Hemlock as possible. So I was wondering whether you thought he would be all for helping the clones because that's what Omega wants, or whether he's like going to be flat out, no, we need to keep you safe and away from where you were.
Well, I'm hoping that he goes the way of not necessarily because we have to help the clones, but let's attack head on, eliminate the threat.
Mm.
Because Hemlock is a threat to Omega's safety. And for them to be running the rest of their lives, I don't think that's something that he is going to, like, want either.
It's not a viable plan.
No.
No.
So I think he may be willing to go head on against Hemlock just so to get him out of the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, and I was thinking what this rest of the season might look like. And I honestly think they'll come to a realization that the Empire finding Omega is going to be inevitable. So I think they're going to maybe use that to their advantage.
Yeah.
So I think what's going to happen is going to be planned. So if I think Omega is going to be purposefully caught and then lead Hunter, Rex, and others to the planet, because they still don't know the location of where this facility is.
Yes.
So I think whatever is going to happen next, it's going to have to be planned, and they're going to have to make sure that when Omega is captured, because it's not if, it's a matter of when it's going to happen, they need to be prepared for that and have her either have a tracker or something so that they can find her whenever she gets taken. And I think that's what's going to happen.
This is when we need a tech.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm not going to get over that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to get over it either. Yesterday, I was going through at work. I was going through this stack of papers, and I came across something that said, what is tech prep? And I just, like, ignored the prep part. And I was like, what is tech? Where is tech? Who is tech? Why is tech? So I ended up tweeting that, being silly. But anyway, and speaking of, you know, the whole getting captured, this is, I think, the second time Omega's been captured. Because if I remember correctly, the first time was with Cad Bane.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When he had shot Hunter. And he took her to Borovio. And in the following episode, Omega mostly saved herself. She got into an escape pod, and thankfully the Bad Batch was there, eventually got there to pick her up. But I love seeing how resourceful Omega can be.
She does not stay and wait.
No. She acts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a girl of action.
Yes. I love that. And I'm sure you know, I'm sure you've noticed this, Mommy, but Hemlock wears this black glove on one hand.
Yeah.
And sometimes he cradles that hand or is massaging it. And he, you know, you can tell that he's probably keeping it covered because he's experimented on it before. Or I wonder if it's like enhanced in some way, like something we don't know about yet that might be revealed later on. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I do believe he has experimented because he said it as much with the gas.
Yes.
You know, he has put himself through things just to make himself more than what he really is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it makes me wonder what else he's done
yeah.
That we haven't seen yet that might show up later, like as like a, You know, when you are in a video game and you get to that boss level.
Yeah.
That boss stage where you have to defeat the boss. Maybe he has something under his sleeve, that under his glove that we don't know yet. Who knows? Yeah. And then speaking of Hemlock, he confronts Nala Se about Omega. But Nala Se said, false positives are to be expected. That result is nothing but an aberration, like the clone herself. And I love how she was turning the tables on him, yeah, because he's usually the one gaslighting other people.
Yeah.
But Nala Se is now the one being the gaslighter and trying to make him question the results. Yeah. I loved that. But specifically about that line, you said there was something that hit you when you watched it.
Yeah, it was very, it brought my attention, because usually when you lie, the best lie is the lie that is wrapped in truth.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So I'm curious as to whether that part of the clone, meaning Omega, mm-hmm, is true about Omega being an aberration and not necessarily something that the Kaminoans were seeking.
Right,
something that just happened, and Nala Se, being the scientist that she is, kept on going with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious about whether that's why Nala Se is so close to Omega, because Omega wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, I thought it was her attempt at throwing Hemlock off.
Yeah,
and making it look like she doesn't care about Omega and just saying that that's what she is, an aberration. But yeah, it could be what you're saying, where it's like
I'm curious if it's why. Yeah, I'm curious as to what much truth is there, because we do know that the test is not an aberration.
Right, right.
But if she is an aberration, maybe that's what makes her special.
Yeah.
In that
it's not something that can be replicated. Right. It just happened by chance, most likely.
It cannot be. And her safety, her life depends on it, because the only way to, it's like with everything, the only way to get at it is by dissecting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm curious. I would like for them to, because I know that Force 99,
mm-hmm,
they're all different, mm-hmm, and they're not like the regular clones,
mm-hmm,
but they were purposely made that way because they were trying to enhance. So whether accidental or not, the process was to enhance certain skills.
Right.
And that's where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Omega being that aberration that nobody expected, mm-hmm, that uniqueness.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be curious to find out, too. Yeah. Oh, and I was also reading this article on Dark Side of the Force by Hope about Nala Se. It's called Nala Se is a Masterclass in Writing Morally Gray Characters. And in it, she talks about what Nala Se did to Fives and her views on clones, and she also brings up the things that she's done for Omega. And towards the end, she wrote, Nala Se is not a good person, but she's doing good things to save the heroes. Does this make her a hero too, after what she did to Fives? And personally, I don't know. I am kind of hesitant to call her a hero. In my reply to Hope's article, I said, she really is a fascinating character, but I still don't like her, especially given her thoughts about clones as property. Omega, of course, being the exception. And I like and appreciate what she's doing for Omega, but doing one good thing for one clone doesn't make her a hero in my eyes. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on Nala Se so far.
No, no, she's definitely not. She's not a hero. She is smart. She has goals. She is ambitious, but I do not go as far as calling her a hero just because she's helping Omega. You see, I am a parent, and as a parent, I'll be willing to go to the ends of the earth to save my child. But that does not necessarily make me a hero, because I don't necessarily would go to the ends of the earth to save another child. I will do, and I will do as much as I can, but I will still preserve myself because I have my kids to take. So, you know, it's that thought. So we have this thing that we like to call, it's like with everything in this modern times. We see the truth as something magnificent when we shouldn't. Mm. The truth should be the norm, not the lie. But we are so fascinated when we see the truth that we forget that should be the norm. So we live in such a selfish society that when we see somebody going out of their way to do a good deed, we see them as heroes.
I see.
That should be the norm. Mm. That should not be the exception.
Right.
A hero should be something totally different. A hero should be something or someone that does the deed every single time, regardless of the outcome, regardless of who they're doing it for.
I see. Yeah, no, that's a good point. It kind of hits on like what I was trying to say, which is, you know, just because she's doing that one thing for one clone, you know, it doesn't absolve her, doesn't change what she's done. Or yes. What she's still neglecting to do
exactly.
For the other clones. It's subjective, honestly.
Because
she could sacrifice herself for all the clones at the very end of this season. And then people will see her as a hero. I probably will see her as a hero for doing that. But currently in this point of the story, I still don't see it. I feel like there needs to be more for her to atone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a really interesting. I really recommend reading it because it's a great article and she brings up interesting points.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love how Omega sounded a lot like Phi in the episode when she talked about booking passage and she's doing that little
the money gesture.
And then she also said a temporary requisition of funds. That was a great reference to Phi and what she's been learning from Phi. And once again, we see how Omega is particularly good at thinking on her feet as well as with games of strategy. Like they've sprinkled moments like that here and there. And I feel like these skills of hers are going to be essential for the fight that's to come. Like, you know, Palpatine is always several steps ahead from everyone else. And I would love to see her be like several steps ahead from him.
Yeah.
Like that would be fantastic.
She is underestimated.
Yes.
Because she's a kid. And that's going to be the undoing of whoever goes against her.
Yeah. People underestimate her. Yeah. And at one point, Omega says she doesn't want to hurt anyone, but Crosshair tells her to not be naive. So I was wondering why you think Crosshair went along with her plans instead of just taking the lead and doing things his way.
Well, I would like to say that he did it just to let her see that he's right.
Oh, okay.
But we also know that he is in an emotionally compromised position. Right now, he's coming off being abused for several months, you know, and he has this thing of whatever experiments have been done to him. So
he might be second-guessing himself.
Yeah, yes. So he's going straight away for his skill. Attack.
Shooting.
Yeah. That's it, you know?
Yes, that's right.
Because that's the only thing I can do right now.
Yeah, it might be the only thing he knows and can rely on.
Yeah. So while I would like to say he has a thought behind it, I think it's more of the fact that he knows that alone he may not be able to survive, not in the position he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he has also been learning with his choices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me not be so abrupt. Mm. Let me not do things the way that I used to, because doing that is what has gotten me to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just step back, see what happens.
You know, that reminds me of the last thing that Tech told Crosshair in season one, because they didn't interact with each other in season two. So if I remember correctly, Tech described Crosshair as being severe and unyielding, and that is his nature. He cannot change that. We cannot change that. He cannot change that. But it's interesting to see that he is still severe and unyielding, but he's also...
has learned to temper.
Yes.
That severity.
Yeah.
That unyieldness, that thing that makes him,
yeah,
you know, go against it regardless.
Yes, yeah. I really liked seeing that. And it's because of the experiences he's been put through. And, you know, we also get to the point in the episode when Omega wants to go one way towards Batcher, but Crosshair wants to go the other way towards the spaceport. And he obviously cares about Omega. She's also the reason he escaped. But what's another reason why you think he goes back to help Omega?
It goes back to the fact that he knows that he's not going to be able to make it on his own.
Right.
At least not now. Not at this point. Not the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the fact that she has sacrificed and she has done so much for him being free at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like, I owe her.
Right. Right, right. You watch my back.
So now I'm going to watch
yours. The least I can do is watch yours. Yeah. And I think it's also because she is his way of possibly getting back to the squad. Like, she is his connection. She's the bridge to possibly repairing things with Hunter and Wrecker. And I also think he knows what it's like to feel abandoned.
Yeah.
And doesn't want that for her, especially since she was so loyal and determined to not leave him behind on Mount Tantus. And I love when the Imperial officer and the troopers are on them when they're at the cargo port, and Omega gives in and says, "All right." But it's not an all right to the Imperials. It's an all right to Crosshair. Let's try things your way.
Finally.
Yeah.
That was so satisfying.
That was so good.
Yes. I get it.
Yeah, I know. And it was also like the sexiest finally that has ever been uttered.
All right. Let's try things your way.
Finally.
It was so good. And I don't know if you noticed, but when all hell broke loose and he falls to the floor to, you know, get cover, his hand was seizing up again. And I'm curious, like, where is that going to lead? Like, how is this going to continue affecting him and possibly affect those around him? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, and again, it goes back to, I think that at this moment, he knows he needs family.
Yes, he needs a support system.
He needs people around him.
Yeah.
Because on his own, he's not going to make it.
Right. Yeah.
And in a sort of way, he knows it without realizing it, without consciously thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's acting and reacting in the way that his subconscious is saying, you have to keep going, you have to go with them, because on your own, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, yeah. And in the cockpit, on their way to meeting Hunter and Wrecker, did you get the impression that Crosshair was kind of nervous about seeing them again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I would be nervous.
Yeah. Which is why he said, you know, it's been months.
They
may not be alive. Like, you know, he's trying to excuse himself from the moment.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And okay, so let's talk about the reunion, the beautiful, beautiful reunion. And I'm not going to lie, that hug between Wrecker and Omega, it's what I wanted to see between Sabine and Ezra in Ahsoka. Like, I think the Sabine and Ezra hug was beautiful. It was great. I liked it. I felt emotional about it. It tugged at my heartstrings. But I wanted more out of it. And I remember I wanted to see Sabine and Ezra run towards each other. But since that didn't happen, I'm so happy we got to see it with Omega and Wrecker.
That tenderness, that big guy, that strong.
Oh my gosh. That big.
I just cried. I just started crying.
Oh my gosh. It was so beautiful. And I love that he's not afraid to show his tears or emotions.
No.
Like he's willing to let it all out. And then, you know, the hug with Hunter was also super beautiful.
I just love how Hunter, the first thing Hunter says is like, yeah, five times. And in the end, you found us.
Yeah, you found us. And then, you know, she's hugged him on a few occasions. Like the one of the ones that stands out to me is when the last thing she sees was Cad Bane shooting him. And at that point, she doesn't know whether Hunter is alive or dead. And so when they rescue her, you know, after she's rescued herself and she sees Hunter with that wrapping around his chest, she goes to hug him. But I think this is the first time we see him hugging her back, like reciprocating the hug. And then another detail I liked that I honestly don't pick up on, so I'm always happy when other fans highlight these things. But there was a moment when Hunter shows up and then he like walks out of the darkness and there's like a light above him. And there was this Twitter user, Arlothea, who said, "I just noticed this. Hunter literally stepped out of the darkness and into the light. He's been in darkness ever since Omega left, and now his light has returned." And then Joel Aaron, who is the director of cinematography, lighting, and FX, said, "Reveal lighting is something I do a lot. It all goes back to the moment in Star Wars Episode 4 when Luke walks into the light when he realizes the troopers that killed the Jawas would lead them to home. So Luke walks into the light for the word home." And I just like, I love that because I never really focus on things like that. And like I said, it's always great when other people highlight it. So the him stepping into the light is just like relief, you know, that I'm finally reconnected. The thing that I care about the most is back home here with us. And you know, Hunter and Wrecker were not overly joyous about seeing Crosshair again. Yeah. And they have their valid reasons because Crosshair's hunted them down. He almost killed them in that Jedi cruiser. He brought a captured Hunter to Kamino and then lured the Bad Batch there. He also threatened Omega, but he also saved Omega's life in the season one finale. And he warned them by sending that signal last season. But that signal and wanting to find the planet he was on eventually led to Tech's death and Omega's capture. So needless to say, there are complicated feelings happening here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I know some people are willing to forgive and forget, but for Hunter and Wrecker, Crosshair is going to have to earn their trust again. And he has to atone for the things he's done. So I was wondering, like, how do you think things are going to be between Crosshair and Hunter and Wrecker?
I'm hoping that they show them truthfully. Like, they don't show this happy-go-lucky family now.
Right, right.
But that they show the problems and complications. Because that's the thing. When people try to forgive and forget immediately, things have a way of resurfacing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they resurface, they don't always resurface at the best time. And it just causes more harm, causes more trouble.
Yeah, because it was never talked about before.
If you talk from the beginning,
yeah,
and you take your time to forgive, then the forgetting comes with it. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to first forgive. You cannot forget.
In a meaningful way.
Exactly, in a meaningful way. And in order to forgive, you have to work through it.
Yeah.
It cannot be just instant like that.
Yeah, it's not something you can easily patch up and then.
So I'm hoping that they show that.
Yeah.
That they show that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that doesn't make it, how you call it, repetitive or annoying
or stealing from other things,
important things
that should be happening,
but
too,
little things here and there that you can say they're still working through it.
Yes, and I really do like what you mentioned earlier about, the fact that Hunter might not be okay with Omega wanting to go back to save the rest of the clones. But then Crosshair might be on his side about it.
Yeah.
And that could be something that could help them be eye to eye with each other again.
We'll see how that one goes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because on the other hand, he may want to just go ahead, and Crosshair may be the temple.
That's true.
Hey, let's hold on. Yeah. Let's wait a moment.
Yeah, he could be the thing that holds them back. Like, yeah, hey, we should think this through. That's true. So what do you think their reactions are going to be, Hunter and Wrecker, when they meet Batcher?
Oh. I'm pretty sure Wrecker is going to love her.
Yeah, right?
He's going to be head over heels with Batcher.
With Batcher.
Now.
Yeah.
Hunter, on the other hand, he's going to see it as an annoyance. Something more that we have to work with.
I know, right? Yeah, I'm thinking Hunter, it depends. I think he might not care just because he has Omega back and he knows that Batcher makes Omega happy. But at the same time, it's like, oh, man, another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
Another thing to, like, keep in mind when we do crazy stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, Wrecker is going to be like hugging that thing.
Yeah. He's going to be a kid with his puppy.
Yeah. And then what are your thoughts on Echo not being there? Because to me, I have no doubt that Echo cares about Omega. But for Echo, the mission is greater than one person. And Echo is a big picture kind of guy. And he has been for a while now. And he's not going to give up where he's needed most, I think. And the search for Omega would have led him away from that mission. So as much as I would have loved to have seen him there, I also get that his priorities are very different right now.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, okay.
But at the same time, I'm like, we don't have tech. We should have at least have Echo in there. You know what
gotcha.
I'm saying?
I gotcha. Yeah.
Because it's like, not only they go and lose Echo, and now Echo is never there with them, but they lost Tech too.
Mm.
And then they lost Omega.
Yes.
Like, these two poor guys are on their own trying to search for this girl.
Yeah.
And nobody's with them.
I think that actually adds to the emotional weight.
Yeah.
So, like, I like that Echo wasn't there for that reason.
Ugh. It's just gonna make me cry all over again. My eyes are water right now.
No. You know, and speaking of Echo and his desire to free the clones, I like to think that freeing the animals on that planet, Lao, is sort of like foreshadowing the liberation of the clones. Of course, I might be reading too much into it, but there was something about Omega setting them free that made me go, I wonder if this is a rehearsal for something bigger.
Yeah, because she said, like, should we release them all? And says, don't push it.
And that's exactly why.
And that's
happening.
What she ends happening, because when she says, okay, we'll do it your way, in a way, she ended up doing it her way.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Because his way led to the opportunity to do it her way.
Yeah, it's true. And then some other notes, some little things here and there. When they steal the clothes, it reminded me so much of that episode in Avatar The Last Airbender, the headband, which is one of my favorite episodes, when they steal the Fire Nation clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that episode. Sapphire, nice to meet you. I love the quote from the person who was dealing out the tickets for the transportation ships. She said, sounds like a you problem.
Yeah.
And that is such a modern phrase. I love how they inserted it in there because I think that's new. I think that's like a recent thing that's been popping up more online on social media.
I think that's a you problem.
And that's what my brother always uses that against me.
Yeah, he's always, that's a you problem.
Yeah, that's a you problem. And I like how the production team created the game, the card game that they were playing. It's called Balance. and they created a rule book for it. And I'm like, when are you guys going to release this? Because I want to learn how to play.
I have the a set of the one that Han Solo and
yes, that's play. Right, Sabacc. Yeah. So yeah, I hope they do something similar because that it looked like a fun game.
Yeah.
And I love that Crosshair was referred to as her dad at one point. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. They think he's the dad. And I just love when he tells Omega, my skills are being wasted.
Like he just
he was itching to shoot something.
Yeah, I'm helping you. We're doing your way. But my skills are being wasted. Yeah.
There were some great lines and moments in this episode. The stormtrooper shrieking when he gets shot off.
That was so funny because you don't expect that. All of a sudden you see this. It's one of those things that you go like, why is that there? Like all of a sudden between all the action that showed the face of this trooper and when the cargo ship goes, he goes, because he gets blown back.
It was such a great moment. It made me chuckle. And I'm sorry, he probably died from that, and I shouldn't be laughing, but it was so comical.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what it was meant to be.
It's a comical
moment. But man, it was unexpected because you could not have foreseen a moment like that amongst the whole
chaos. And then the next episode is called The Return. So what do you think this title might be referring to?
It could be pointing out to Crosshair's return.
Yes.
It could be to pointing out to them going back to Pabu.
Yes.
It could be pointing out Echo.
Oh, yeah. The return of Echo, maybe. Yeah.
So you know, many things.
Yeah,
we'll see what the return of is.
I was also thinking maybe the return of the bounty hunters.
Oh, that too. Because that's one of the things that Hemlock says when they're in the crash site.
Mm-hmm.
He says, tell everybody. Tell all our operatives. And I'm like, which operatives?
Yeah.
Who is going to come out of the woodwork now?
Yeah, so true. So the return might be referring to that. But you're right. It could be referring to Crosshair coming back to the squad, returning to what he used to be part of, or maybe returning to Pabu. But that's it. That's it for this episode. Were there any other thoughts you had about it?
I just enjoyed it very much. I wasn't too happy because I'm still not happy about Techno being there. Yes, and I'm going to keep saying it. You're going to hear it a lot of times. But it gave me joy. It gave me a joy that I was missing when they get together like that. Oh, my God. I love crying. I complain about the fact that Star Wars makes me cry. But I do love when I cry when it makes me cry.
It's a good cry. It's a good cry. But yeah, that's it. So in our next episode, we'll be discussing The Return.
Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.